Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph. Last week we almost finished Perek Yud, chapter 10. Just the last passage. The last passage, it brings a very interesting idea. The theme of this chapter, chapter 10, asks the question that he brings that according to the Rishonim, there's a big machlokes, who are greater? Are angels greater than people? Or people greater than angels? And there are all sorts of opinions going either way, and each opinion has verses to back it up. There's the Ramban, and there's the Rambam, and others. And there are verses for each opinion, and the answer is that both are true, because it's in different ways. An angel in terms of what he's able to grasp, what he's able to reach, what he's able to see in terms of higher world, upper world, so his grasp is totally superior to our grasp. He knows absolutely what's going on. Whereas we are very much in the dark. So what we understand in a very minimal way, he understands in a very superior way. So obviously in terms of that, he's much, much higher. But in another area, man is much greater than angels. And that man links all of the worlds together, and man's soul itself stretches right through all the worlds. Man has the ability to reach the very highest of worlds, and he works right through all the worlds and unites all the worlds together. And that's what makes man vital. That's what makes his service of Hashem very, very important. Because he actually affects the whole life of the entire spiritual universe. Whereas an angel is static. An angel is given his position, his station. And in his station he's able to operate, but he's very much limited. And the angels are called omdim because they're positioned. Each one has their position. Like a guard who's on duty, watch duty, he has to be in his position. That's his position, that's where he stays. It could be the colonel will come and move him. So it could be also that his service will change over time. But it's a position. Whereas man is very much dynamic. Man's whole service of Hashem is dynamic. And moreover, he affects all of the worlds. And he finished off this chapter with a beautiful Zohar that brings, on the passage, just look at the last few lines of chapter 10. So he brings the verse from Bereishis V'yachleim V'hinei Sulam. It says that Yaakov Avinu, when he was on the run from Esav, he had this dream, and he saw a ladder. He saw a ladder with its feet on the ground and its head in the heavens. So says the Zohar that this ladder is Nishmas Chaim, is the living soul of a person. It's the person's neshama is called the ladder. And through this ladder, he named Malach Elokim Oilim V'yordim Bo. What does it say about this ladder, the ladder of Yaakov? That angels were going up and down the ladder. That's what he saw. He saw a ladder. And angels were coming down, angels were going up. So that is Mamish Roitzelema Al Yedah Nishmas Chaim Shum Mutzav Atz, which is through a person's soul, which is grounded in this world, because we our main work is in this world, in this material world. So our souls that are grounded in this world, Mutzav Atz, are standing in the ground. The Slabeshus Ktzeh Atachto in Shiloh Begufa Adam, right, where the bottommost part of the soul, that is the ladder on which the angels can climb up and climb down, because the man's soul goes, as we mentioned before, right through all of the worlds, right up to the highest place, which is the throne of glory. Perek Yud Aleph. V'zehu atam shamalochim hamakdishim b'shmei maroim. This is the reason that the angels who sanctify Hashem. The concept of sanctifying Hashem means of elevating Hashem and of putting Hashem in a new light. They make Hashem, actually, they elevate Hashem for us, and they make Hashem. They empower Hashem, and the concept of empowering Hashem is that He's able to do more for us. Because if he is not empowered, He can't help us. You know, we are on our own. So by us looking towards Hashem, attaching ourselves to Hashem, we empower Him to enter our lives and do more. The more person looks to Hashem, the more Hashem can help him. The less a person looks to Hashem, the less a person helps him. So that's the concept of the Melochim Mekadshim. They sanctify Hashem. They elevate Hashem. They purify. They beautify Hashem. So it says that the angels who are mekachim in the heavens above, mamtinim leshalesh k'tushosim, they wait to say their triple kaddish, not the triple kaddish that we say, kaddish, kaddish, kaddish. They have to wait to say their kaddish at achash anu meshalshim k'tusha lamat, until we have said our kaddish in this world. Right, that's the Gemara brings it, and many sources speak this out. So therefore, they have to wait. They're waiting for us to say Kaddish, and then they say Kaddish.
What does that mean?
So let's see what he says.
Okay, there's so many different Jews. So some are saying it and some aren't saying it.
We'll see that it's the Jews that say Kaddish that empower the angels that are in line with them, that are aligned with them to say Kaddish.
If 1 minute says Kaddish, look where the angels can still say it.
It could be that those angels that are linked to those Jews, right?
Is that right?
Well, but I don't know if it works like that exactly, because in a sense the Jewish people is one, and we do move together. And even though maybe we live in different time zones and we do things at different times and in different minyanim, but the Jewish people, so to speak, moves together, and that moves the upper worlds. Now it's an interesting thing because we have the idea of the individual, that the individual makes the whole difference. Each person has to say he has responsibility, because it's the individual that makes all the difference. But in that we're all a chain, so therefore if one part of the chain moves, so therefore everything moves. So exactly how it's coordinated, that it works in terms of time, that I don't know. And really, part of the answer is that the upper worlds are not really linked to time. We're in a time-bound existence. But beyond this world, there's things that happen that are outside of time. So exactly how it would work, I don't know. But this is what the Gemara says, and this is what the Nefesh HaChaim brings over here. That Apsha Kedushosam Lamana Mikedushosam, even though their Kedusha, when they say Kodesh, 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 is much, much more powerful than ours. Our Kodesh is, you know, the guy's half dreaming about breakfast, and he's looking at his cell phone to see, you know, if anyone's left a message, and he's saying Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. I mean, I'm exaggerating, obviously, but it's obviously our Kedusha is a much, much lower level of sanctity than the angels. So what's the idea of them waiting? The idea is not because they're giving us honor. You know, you first, after you. Right? That's the way you honor a person. You say, after you. You go first, I'll come after you. That's not the idea. It's not that they're giving us covered. The fact that we are first is not because they want to be mechabed us. They don't have the power and they don't have the ability at all. Mitzad atzmam, in terms of themselves, liftoch b'pim la'kdush liyotcham. They don't have the ability to say kedusha until we say it. We empower them. They don't have the strength and they don't have the ability. When they do it, it's much more powerful. But we are the ones who push the button. And if we don't push the button, it doesn't happen. They don't have the ability at all to open their mouths to say kodesh to Hashem. Ad alias kol kedushas Yisrael, until the voice of Klal Yisrael saying the Kedushas Hashem comes up into the upper world, Aleim Milamad, it elevates from the worlds below, so then that's what empowers them. When that voice, when the voice of Israel in this world comes up to the upper world, then they are able to join in and also to be in Kaddish HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Inyan Amir's Kedusha, who? But the idea of saying Kedusha, what is this idea of saying Kedusha? Who halos ha'ilomus is elevating worlds. In other words, you're taking worlds, you're rocketing worlds up. You're actually moving worlds to higher levels. You're actually changing the whole universe. You're elevating worlds. That's number one. Vehiskashrusam, and you're tying them together. You're binding them together. And when they're united, they're much more powerful. We know that a united force is a tremendously strong force. An ununited force is right. Everyone's doing something else. Everyone's going in a different direction. It loses all of its strength. So therefore, halos ha'ilomus v'iskashrusam. This is the function of the kedusha: to elevate the world and to tie the worlds together, to empower the worlds. Kol olam v'olam shema'elov. Each world is connected to the world above it. Which, if you remember, we mentioned that the world above any world is the soul of that world. The higher world is the soul of the world just below it, which is the soul of the world just below that. So therefore, to connect a world to the world above it is to connect it to its soul, so to speak. And when a person's connected to a soul, again, he's much more empowered. He's much more spiritual because he's in touch with his own soul. He's connected to his soul. So the Kedusha connects worlds, lower worlds, to the worlds above them, L'hesif Kedushosim, which adds to the world, the kedusha of those worlds, and the sheen, the shining, the brilliance of those worlds, which is the ability to affect, the ability to influence others. So if on base he brings another source here, relating to the holiness of the angels, which comes from the force of our saying Kedusha. Their ability to say Kedusha comes from our force of saying Kedusha. V'zeh l'shoina, look down to the square brackets, Ve'elu miyamin, these angels on the right, Oimim Shira, they say song, they sing song, Umarim Rotzin Damana, and they send goodwill to the heavens above. They're able to issue, they're able to transmit Rotzin, to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore they give this pleasure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ve'oimim Kodesh, and they say Kodesh. This is the angels on the right. The Elum is small. There's another group of angels on the left. Oimim Shira. They also sing a song. Umarim Rotzin Lamala. They also send goodwill to upper worlds. They're also pleasing to the upper world. Oimim Boruch. They're the ones who say Boruch Hashem, right? Atmim Koimoi. Umischabrim Bekedusha. And they join together the Kedusha. Bechol Elu Sheyoidim LeKadosh LaAdoin and BeYehuda. They join to all of those who know how to sanctify Hashem. So all those who know how to sanctify Hashem unite together. The Klulam Klulim Elu Beil. They all included one with the other. BeYehud Echad, with one unification. Umeskashim Zebazeh, and they tie to each other. At Shekulam Oisim Kesha Echad, they become one connection. Ruach Echad, they become one spirit, one spirit that's blowing through the worlds. Ruach Echad, Miskashim Be'edu Shalamal, Lius Kulam Echad, Niskal Zebezeh, to unite lower worlds with upper worlds, right through all of the worlds, the spirit goes up and creates this very strong heavenly force. That is from these holy writings, the Hechle, the Kudei De'ekolo. Behind the Pre-Eitz Chaim, if you look in the Pre-Eitz Chaim, he brings as follows. He's speaking there, and there's a chapter there that deals with Chazor Sashatz. Mavu Hashem, Kavonis Inyan Amiris Kedusha. Over there, he explains the idea of saying Kedusha is Shu Halos Viskashrus Oilom Vesilion. Same similar idea. That's the elevating and tying together of higher worlds. Luhesi Pehem Ani Dezeh to Sefes Kedusha, to add to their sanctity. Or Elyon. And upper lights. All of this, as we mentioned before, that Hashem is more revealed, Hashem is more seen, and there's more power of goodness in the world. And he says, possibly from this kind of the custom amongst Israel, that we have a custom to elevate ourselves on our toes. We raise our bodies when we say Kedusha, Kedush, Kedush, Kedush. So people lift their bodies up, they lift up their heels and lift their bodies onto their toes when they say Kedusha. This could be the idea, because we are elevating the world through our saying Kedusha. This is no angel and no seraph, none of the different angels are able to do it by themselves. In others, we're basically making things happen through the world. And therefore, no angel can open its mouth. It just doesn't have the ability to open its mouth until the air of the holiness of Israel, who are gathered together. And specifically, we need, it's a davish of a kedusha. We have to do it in a minyan. We can't say kodesh, kodesh, kodesh unless we have a minyan of Jews. So it's kvutzei mata. We ourselves unite, and that empowers us to say kedusha, and that empowers all of the upper world. So basically, it's all being triggered by our actions. You call Israel.
But the Kedusha of the Malachim seems almost meaningless, because it's not a hero, just what Hashem created. If man triggers it, then it happens. It's like a machine. Why is it greater than man?
It is dependent on us to trigger it, but it releases tremendous light and tremendous Kedusha. In other words, it's basically our actions which are having an unbelievably huge effect, which is like supernatural, because how could we possibly be doing that? But that's the way Hashem has set it up, that my us pushing the button, so all of these forces unite and operate as they do. That's just the way it's Hashem has set it up. But it is all being done by us. In a sense, they're not doing anything, they're just following a program. It's like if you have a computer program, if you click on a certain icon, so then the whole program starts operating, and this one thing triggers another thing, and then the whole series of steps are taken just by you triggering the first step. That's exactly what's happening here. Next paragraph. And if it was that the whole of the Jewish people, and here it's interesting because it sounds like a little bit from here, that even if there's this one group of Jewish people still doing Kedusha, they could save the whole situation. Even if it's just one minion somewhere at the ends of the world, they can actually redeem the whole situation. But if it would be that the entire Jewish people, from one end of the world to the other, Shoyskin Chas V'Sholem, if the whole Jewish people would suddenly be silent, Miloim Kedusha, they all decide together, no, they're not saying Kedusha anymore. The angels would all be silenced. They would all be silenced. They'd lose all their power. And he brings here Zoha in Balak. That when they are silent, when they stand, so the angels' wings are slackened. Right? If Israel will stand in silence and just be passive, all of the myriads of angels, the millions and millions of angels, all of their wings will suddenly become weakened. The idea of them saying Kedusha, they say Kedusha with their wings. Now, angels are not physical beings, and as when we speak about angels, we speak about wings, that's all just an analogy. It's not to be taken literally. It's not wings like birds' wings or eagles' wings. It's nothing that we could actually describe in physical terms. It's all different types of forces, all different types of energies that the angels are able to release. So therefore, their wings, whatever that means, right, that ability to say Kedusha, are suddenly silent. They suddenly lay still. Right, and he brings a Gemara in Chagiga. Brings one pasuk that speaks about the angels have six wings, and then there's another pasuk that speaks about the angels having four wings. So it says, yeah, because two are silenced. So there are six, but because when Israel are silent, they lose their wings, so to speak. So they go down from six wings to four wings. So the Gemara says, well, which wings do they lose? If they lose wings, which wings do they lose? So Omar of the Chanina, Omar Rav, Oysa Shoim Behem Shira. It's the wings with which they sing songs to Hashem. That's what they lose. If we're silent, then they can't sing songs to Hashem. And also brings the Zohar Chodesh, Kol Hamulo, the same idea, that all the wings are silent. There's Sham Perish Kanfeim Loshen Knufya. Just that they'd use the word Kanfeim. The word Kanfeim we normally translate as wings. But in Aramaic, the word Knufya means gathering together, assembling. So it's interesting. It's a very similar word, right? Also, both words are the word Knuf. But one is Knuf means a wing. One means Knufya means gathering together. And could be it's the same type of thing, because in gathering together, they are able to sing songs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are very many groups of angels in the upper heavens. Achasom es Kodesh, there's one group that says Kodesh. Heim Asrofim, those are the seraphs. Right? Kemoshe Kasub Behechol Adabreshis, Mkudde Deechlo Atin Yona, as it brings in that source. Srofim Oimdi Mimal Loi, and that's the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, the Srofim stand above, they stand on a higher world. The Korizel Zeve, Omer Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. What we say, Kodesh, Kodesh, in Yoitse Or, in the morning, the davening, is based on these Psukim Yeshayahu. And then there's a second group opposite the first group, or contra the first group, right? In on the other side of the first group, and they're the ones that say Borch, right? Borch Shem Tuid Machusul Ulam Boed. That's the Ofanim. It's a different type of angel. Achayus Chayus Hakodesh, another type of angel. Moshe Amar Rizal, right? And that's the he brings the Gemara in Chulin. What about Boruch? So the Gemara says they Boruch Ofanim Hud Amri. So the Kodesh is the Srofim. And the Baruch is the Ephonim. Just like the Anshek Kemoshe Sidron, Anshek Nesek Deyla, B'Kedushas Yoyse, like we have in our morning davening, as it's described there. Shekol Kasma, Kadeshas Kefi, Mekoira, V'Shor Shavar Ulomas. Each group sanctifies Hashem according to its own source, its own power, its own ability, and its root, which is the root of the worlds. Aval Yisrael, but Israel, Vutzei Mata, Oimim Shneim, we say them both, we say everything, because basically we are triggering them all. It's all dependent on us. So we say Kodesh, and we say Baruch. Because all of the roots are within us. We mentioned this idea in a previous chapter, that all of the roots of all of the upper worlds, all the different energies, and all the different strengths, and all the different abilities, all the different strains, all the different channels by which different types of life comes into the world, is all based on, it's all at the root of all of those different channels is all within us. So therefore we say it all, it's all triggered us by us. Everything that happens right through the universe is all triggered by us. V'zeh gam ken inyan amiras perek shira. Now there are many people who say the perek shira, and there's an idea to say perek shira, there are those people who say it, it's not an obligation. And the perek shira describes there what each animal sings to Hashem, right? There's the song of the dogs, and the song of the wolves, and the song of the doves, and the song of the eagles, and the song of the mice, right? And the camels, etc., etc. Each group of animals has their own song. So he brings there, the Chazal bring there, kol ha'omer perek shira b'chol yom, everyone who says perek shira every day, etc. He doesn't bring the whole quote. Because when a person says Perek Shira, when a person says the song of the songs of the different animals, the reason that he can say it is because he's the root of them all. Because all of the energies, in other words, all the different strengths of all of the animals in the world, we have them all. And as we have the strength of the lion, we have the speed of the deer, or of the cheetah, whatever it is, we have the bravery of certain animals, or we have the industry of certain animals. We have all the different qualities of all the different animals. We have in its root within ourselves. So therefore, it's appropriate that we should sing the song of all of these animals because we have all their koichos. Who knows in koich lemelachim v'hasarim shall call elu habrios. Because all of these creatures in the world all have their own angels. Each type of animal has its own angel. And they are able to sing songs. And we basically unite them together. When these angels will sing these songs, so that gives the energy to those animals, those creatures down below. And he says, look here, Ein Bezeh Likute Teira, from the Arizal, Retaima Mitzvahs. So here in your notes below, he brings the Likutei Torah. Just let's look at it because it's actually very beautiful. And let's just read it for a few more minutes here. So he brings here at the bottom, the idea of Perek Shira, which a person should be saying every day. It's not an obligation as we mentioned, but there are people who say it every day. Daki kolani vroim sheba'olam yesh aleim sar b'shamayim. Every creature in this world has an angel appointed over it in the heavens. And that fits the Gemara. The Gemara says that there's no grass, there's no blade of grass that doesn't have its own angel. Imagine every blade of grass has its own angel in the heavens, which stands above it and strikes it and says, grow. It encourages its own angel, encourages that blade of grass. It's the angel of that blade of grass, encourages that blade of grass to grow. So that's true for the grasses, it's true for all the different creatures. That angel which is appointed over that creature draws down, in other words, pours down on that creature the life force that it needs. Pours on it the life force that animal needs to breathe, to live, to operate, to move around, etc. And that angel which affects that creature is unable to influence that creature, that blade of grass or that animal, until it itself sings a song to Hashem. That angel first has to sing a song to Hashem, and then it's able to influence the creature below. And through that song, that song gives the angel the power. It actually feeds that angel, that angel can feed the creature below it. So all of these songs are of these angels. Now, he skips ahead and he says, however, what it says over there, anyone who says Shira every day, this Perek Shira every day, merits many very high levels. Because we know that man is created in the image of Hashem. Just like all of the upper beings, all of the upper worlds, and all of the angels are all dependent on the form of a man, because the entire universe is created in the form of a man. The whole universe is all in the like a head, a body, etc. It's all in the form of man. And all of the angels and all of the upper worlds are all connected somewhere, some part of that form of man. So to all the creatures below in this world. In this physical world, all the creatures down in this world, they're all dependent on the physical man. The physical creatures are dependent on their life force on physical man. And as we basically we're basically, through us comes their life force. And the reason is simply because the whole world is for us. The whole world is for man who makes choices, who chooses to do good with his life. And therefore, that gives a reason for the whole world to exist. The whole world exists because we can choose to use our lives to do good. So therefore, all of the lives of all the creatures and all the grasses and all the insects and all the fish and everything throughout the world is all dependent on man himself. Through him, all of them, they are all blessed. All the blessings comes to all creatures through man. Therefore, someone who says the song, and he knows which creature is blessed through which verse that he says, and he says those songs, that he brings down a outpouring of blessing on these. He brings energy to all of these different creatures, and his reward is very great. Now, there is a mile here in knowing these things focusing on improving these things, on bringing some of this kedusha, some of this koyach into the world. But in any event, that is the reality of man. That man is the whole reason for life, the whole reason for this world, and therefore everything, absolutely everything, depends on him. The Maaseh Yesharim mentions that, let's see, that when Hashem created Adam Rishon, Adam Rishon was the last one to enter the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the whole world 6 days, and right at the end of the sixth day, he created man. So he was. It's like if you have a function, you make a party. So first the furniture comes, and then the food comes, and then the waiters come, and then the orchestra comes, and all the different workers, all the florists come, and the photographers come. All the people come to set up the whole function. And who arrives last are the guests. Because it's all for the guests. When the guests come, everything's already ready. When the guests come in, everything is polished, everything is beautiful, everything is in place, everything is shining, all the lights are lit, all the candles are lit, everything is just perfect, and then the guests arrive. So the same thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world, and then finally he brought Adam into the world. And when he brought him in, according to the Midrash, it says that he took him on a tour around. He says, I want to show you the world, right? Like you bring a new person into a new house, let me take you on a tour of the rooms, of the gardens, of all the different places. So he took Adam Arishon around Gan Eden. He said, look what a beautiful world I've created for you. Look how wonderful it is. Be careful you don't destroy it. Because if you act correctly, so then you elevate the world, and the whole world will flourish, the whole world will prosper, everything will become much more beautiful. But if you sin, and if you yourself self-destruct, you destroy yourself, you fall in your spiritual level, so you're going to destroy the entire world. Your mom is destroying the entire world. And that's the reality. You have people who live destructive type lives, and as you see in the newspapers, they say they're destroying the world. The world is destroying. The world is crumbling. The world is falling apart. And there's problems with pollution. There's problems with war. And there's problems with not enough resources. There's not enough trees. There's not enough oxygen. Whatever it is, they're destroying the world. But on the contrary, at the same time, those who are serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and who are dedicating their lives to HaKadosh, they're building up the world. How can it be that at the same time the world is being built up and at the same time it's being destroyed? However it is, that's just the reality. We see such a thing. We see that there are those who are adding strength to the world through the Avodas Hashem. So there is flourishing, there is prosperity, there is bracha that comes into those communities, and it does affect the entire world. And at the same time, you have other sectors in the world where they are mamish destroying the world. So it's basically that the whole world is mamish in our hands. It's all totally dependent on our free choice. Okay, let's just start chapter 12. We've got a few minutes. Now, Masha HaNaran Shela Odom. Naran stands for Nefesh Ruach Neshama. So these are different aspects of the soul. Nefesh is the lowest. Ruach is higher than that, and Neshama is still higher. There are another two aspects that the Sforim HaKadoshim speak about, which it's not dealt with here. Those are aspects that we don't really have any connection with at all. We don't really understand them, but they're two higher levels. In other words, there are five levels to the Neshama. But he speaks about the three lowest levels, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. And they basically parallel, in terms of ourselves, deed, speech, and thought. Now, deed being the lowest type of activity we have, that's the most material type of activity, that's with the limbs of your body, is your deeds, your actions. And then ruach is speech. Speech is something much more elevated. Speech is something unique to man. Right? So that speech is much more elevated than just action. So that's linked to ruach. And then we have neshama is thought. The world of thought is even still higher than the world of speech. Okay. And also Rav Dessler links them to he links these three things to also nefesh, to action, right, to material, the material world, the physical world, the material world. Ruach, he links to emotion. Emotion is where you mix the non-tangible with the tangible, right? Because emotions are that which is partially spiritual and partially physical. Partially physical, partially non-physical, because emotions are about feelings. It stretches into the spiritual world. And then neshama, he links to thought or to intelligence or to ideas. So that's the highest world. That's totally mufshat. That's totally non-material. That's totally non-physical. The world of thought is a world that's way beyond the physical world. The physical world doesn't actually affect the world of thought. The world of thought has a certain, almost sort of certain type of eternity to it. Because if you have an idea, and it's a true idea, it's eternal. It doesn't die, it doesn't get old, it doesn't rot, doesn't disappear, can't shoot it. So therefore, that's the world of thought. So that's also linked to Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Those three capacities. And we all have that. We have our physical sides, we have our emotional sides, and then we have our intellectual side. So now, humashe naran shel odom, the nefesh, ruach, neshama of a person, ain bi yecholta lekasher b'ulomus. It can't actually link with the upper worlds. We said that a person with his actions affects all of the upper worlds, so it's actually not able to have that effect ad ridatam lamata b'guf odom, until it first enters the body of man. The person's only activated, so to speak. We're saying the man is the trigger of the upper worlds, but man himself can only be a trigger when he comes into this world, when he's born into this world, and the neshama enters the physical body. A person's life only really starts once he enters his physical body. And this was mentioned before also in chapter 10. Kilasaken olam asiyah, to fix this world of action, which is the world of the physical world, the material world, the world of action. Therefore, we have to be in a body. If we're going to affect the physical world, so we have to be in a body. We have to live in bodies. We have to have bodies with limbs, with arms, legs, etc. We have to actually be in our bodies, and then we can operate in the physical world through our bodies. And we have numbers of verses that speak about the different functions we have, and the different effects we have on the world through these three different levels, as we said before. There's action, there's speech, and there's thought. Now, first he's going to speak about action, and then later on he's going to speak about the others, speech and thought. But we're starting with action first. So in terms of the arousement which is created through our actions, and things we do through our maisa, so on that, Omer David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, his apostle in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Hayoytze Yachad Libom, but Hashem who creates, who forms together their hearts, Hamevin El Kol Maasei, he understands El to all their deeds. Right? Kodesh Baruch Hu forms our hearts and he understands all our deeds. But it doesn't say he understands all our deeds, it says he understands to all our deeds. What's that to for? And that's what he asks here. Lefi pshuta yaroi lomar hamevin kol maaseh. The simple understanding verse should have said, Hashem understands all our deeds. But he says he understands to all our deeds. What's that to for? V'omer el kol maaseh. He says to our deeds. Roitze lomar hanogei la maaseh. He understands all of the effects of our deeds. To all our deeds means not only our deeds itself, but what our deeds are going to affect right through upper worlds. So he understands the product of all our deeds. He understands our deeds and what our deeds actually do in higher spheres, which we ourselves don't understand. Which is to say, he who is the former, who is the creator, he knows how far our deeds go. Exactly what are the effects of our deeds? Where they reach and what do they affect? How do they affect upper worlds? Or how do they destroy upper worlds? So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows to all our deeds. And just something, this is a reality to us also, because often you do things and you're not conscious of the effects. Maybe you might say something to someone and he's very hurt, he's very insulted, and you're not even aware of it. Maybe you didn't even have intention to insult him, to hurt him. But we know that we often do things and we're totally unaware of the effects. Or let's say sometimes you do something and somebody else is watching you. You're not even aware that he's watching you, but he's actually using you as a role model. And that can be positive. He sees you doing something very beautiful and he wants to copy you. And that has an effect. Or you do something negative and he wants to copy you. And that has an effect. And that's simply in this world that we see that we're not always conscious of what our deeds are affecting. But what David HaMelech is saying, that's really much, much more. It affects, as we said before, it affects everything that happens in the highest of worlds. And this is part of what we're speaking about in the world of action. We do, once we're in the world of action, we do have this tremendous effect right through the universe.